is a Wednesday morning, Wednesday, October 27th, 2021, last Wednesday in the month of October. Next Wednesday, we will be in the Thanksgiving month of November. 21 minutes past the hour, long news report today, which maybe we'll get into this particular hour. Glenn Coble joins me for the next 2 hours here, and then he'll be on today with Dr. Ron Feynman, A Progressive Life from 12:10 until 1 p.m., Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond, 4:10 to 5 p.m. today, and the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon, 6:10 until 7 p.m. tonight. Now, tomorrow night, don't miss this for Love Nor Money, Candidates Night 2021, and this is a co-venture between WWGH Radio and the Marian Star. Tomorrow night, we will have all candidates in studio that are able to attend the city council races. All seats in city council are up for re-election this year. They will all be here, and the city treasurer's race. Now, here's how this all works. Starting at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, you'll be able to call this number, 740-383-9944, and you will get an operator. That operator will take your question for the candidates. You can ask a question of all the candidates, or you can ask a question of a particular race. That index card will be relayed to me live on the air, and if we have time, we will get your question in. Also, Mitch Hooper from the Marian Star will be here asking questions. I will be asking questions, and it will be a live night. Now, when we go off the air tomorrow night at 9 p.m., we'll be on 7 to 9. I will have my exclusive interview with Joe Blystone that was taped last night for an hour straight, Republican gubernatorial candidate, primary candidate, I should say, tomorrow night from 9:10 until 10:10. Boy, I'd never work for the TV Guide. 9:10 to 10:10 tomorrow night on this station. So a whole lot of stuff going on here at WWGH Radio. Glenn Coble, Linda Sims, Terry Tackett, Sean Kraft, and Angie Evers all involved in tomorrow night's candidate night. Now joining me here today, candidates with an S night, joining me in studio, Glenn Coble. That was a long intro, Glenn. The show's over now. I'm going to pack up and go home.
Well, that's almost as long an intro as we're going to have a show tomorrow. So.
But I tell you, last year we did this because the League of Women Voters had to cancel last year as well. We did the two county commissioner races last year, the sheriff race, and the clerk of court. So we only did four races last year, and easily filled the 2 hours. People want to ask questions. You have the Star. I think the Star probably gets in about four or five. We get in about four or five, and then you have the listeners who want to ask questions. And it's interesting because the format is, let's say you ask a question of city council in the first ward. Well, that candidate gets 2 minutes to answer, and then the opponent gets 2 minutes to answer, respond, and then the initial person of who the question was asked gets a minute. So it takes 5 minutes to get through one question.
I think it'll be interesting. I've been thinking to myself all week what question I can ask that might be mundane to the situation, and I'm not quite sure. I still haven't figured out a really, really good question. I don't want to do the gotcha questions or stuff like that. I want to do a question that will help the city residents make up their mind.
You know what tends to happen, oddly enough? The Marian Star in the League of Women Voters events, or myself, I emceed or moderated or whatever you call probably five or six of those events. And what's different is you don't get to ask a question as the moderator. Mm-hmm. So I never knew what the questions were. They took them from the audience in the room, and they took them from people calling in, kind of like we'll do as well. So the questions were not mine. This is nice because we do get to ask four or five of the candidates, depending on how many questions are coming from the listeners. Now, what I noticed last year, because it was the first time we did it that way, was that our questions were not gotcha questions. The Marian Star and what I was asking, those weren't the gotcha questions. The pointed questions come more from the listeners than us.
Or the opponent. I think I was running for the state rep at the time. The opponent of one of the persons that was on the panel really asked gotcha questions of his opponent, and it was kind of uncomfortable.
Well, and that becomes a thing because we don't screen who calls in the questions. Yeah. So a lot of times it's somebody who really is for the other person and is asking a particular question to get a gotcha, and maybe that's why the gotcha questions do come from the phone. But we do, and as the league did as well, you do look at those questions and you say, is this really pertinent to this race? Does this really have anything to do with it?
Are you going to have a button so you can cut people off at their minute and a half?
Well,
or
I'm good at cutting people off.
Okay.
Because we do have signs last year, and that worked very well because not only do I see the time cues, they see the time cues, and even if they don't see them, I let them know they're done.
Yeah. Well, now, I did notice when I came in just moments ago that you've spruced up the studio a little bit more, but I think we're going to be really crowded in here.
Well, you know, it's going to be crowded. Last year, as I say, we only covered four races, two county commissioner, clerk of courts, and sheriff. So at most, we were going to have eight people. That was the, and I think a couple people couldn't make it last year, so I think we had five people in the studio. This year,
you only have one no-show this year, don't you? I mean, one person said they can't make it?
I don't know what the final list is, but I know it's very small.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I know that the people who are not showing is very, very, very small.
Yeah.
A matter of fact, somebody thought they couldn't make it and rearranged their plan so they could.
Oh, good. Excellent.
So it's small. I'm going to say under three. And this is a lot of candidates.
Yeah. Well, and the nice thing I think that we're doing that the League of Women Voters did not do is Jim Jordan would refuse to show up, so they wouldn't allow Janet Garrett to ask or say
questions.
Anything. Yeah. So we're going to allow the opponents, if their opponent doesn't show,
you can still take questions.
Yeah, too bad.
Well, because honestly, there are, let's say you're in the fourth ward and your opponent doesn't show up. Well, sometimes a lot of the questions are directed at everybody.
Yeah.
And why shouldn't you be able to answer that?
Yeah, I've been trying to fashion my question or two so that everybody can answer.
Oh, and by the way, the rules for that are, if you ask a question, let's say, to city council, well, that's about 11 or 12 people. So you only get a minute. When that type of, and there is no rebuttal.
So
everybody just gets a minute.
Needs to be directed towards someone, the question?
Well, if you want. I mean, you can ask it of all city council, but just remember the format for the, let me say this right. If you ask it of a specific race, let's say 2nd Ward City Council, the 2nd Ward City Council person will get 2 minutes, their opponent will get 2 minutes to respond, and then the person who it was asked of will get 1 minute. If you ask it of all members of City Council, which would encompass 11, 12, 13 people, every person gets a minute, and that's it.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah, so that's how it goes. And everybody will get a minute opening and closing statement.
That's
when
good.
We start the show.
Okay.
So the first 15 minutes will be opening statements, and the last 15 minutes will be closing statements.
I think I have an Ooga horn at home. We could use that to shut them up.
Well, it's surprising. You think 2 hours without a break, because we don't break at the top of the hour for this, is a long time. But when you take the opening statements and the closing statements of 14 people and
Right now,
you're down to 45 minutes per hour, and you consider a question of one race is 5 minutes long, you see why you clock about 12 or 13 questions in the entire show.
Yeah. It should be interesting.
Well, it really should, because we had a new development in the auditor's case yesterday.
Yeah, I listened.
Did you listen to that?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Well, if you're just tuning in or haven't heard the news report, we're just going to catch you up, because we are a news and information station here. The auditor has resigned. That's a done deal. That's all in the past now. But what's not in the past is apparently Martin Watts, the interim auditor, who was on this show last Thursday, was going through, I don't know if he was going through the desk or what, the files, let's say, in the auditor's office, and came to find that there were many correspondences from the IRS and other groups that were never passed along to city council. We had heard for a long time, because when this really all started, it was because the auditor had mispaid the state instead of the IRS. This accrued some big fines, and the auditor was trying to get the fines forgiven. Well, there was a paperwork in there that the IRS had denied that nobody ever saw. And there was even a piece of paperwork apparently in there that said, if something's not done here, we could freeze the assets or seize the assets of the city. Nobody knew, because it never was passed along to anybody.
Yeah, the mayor didn't sound real happy when
he has called it a cover-up. Now we're getting into big, heavy terms.
Yeah.
It's not resignation. It's not, you're not doing your job. You covered up things. That's a far bigger term. And we also know that Ray Grogan, I don't want to say the wrong thing. I think it's recused himself because he would be personally involved. But let's say this. A special prosecutor has been appointed here in Marion to investigate the auditor for crimes.
Yeah.
It's no longer about out of office, did you do the job, so on and so forth. Did you commit crimes while you were doing this job? And it's not on the news report today, but in the interview I did with the mayor yesterday, apparently there's case precedent that this money that the city owes, that can be put back on the man,
wow,
Robert Landon, $53,000 or something,
wow,
like that. Because, and apparently city council is kind of in favor of this. They discussed this Monday, according to the mayor, because they don't want the taxpayers to have to pay these bills.
Yeah, and probably rightfully so. Now, no matter what happens, it sounds like the ship has sailed already on some of those grants that they're going to try to get, because they haven't gotten, the auditor's report is not ready.
Well, and here comes the state auditors in about a week again. Apparently, they've got some more stuff to talk to the mayor about. And also, it looks as if maybe now the books are not going to be fixed until March of next year, which the federal money, we don't know where that stands at this point. There are a lot of big questions.
Yeah, and that's paying for, if I'm not incorrect, that's paying for like the senior center, the
transit,
and also I believe police and fire.
And the thing, we don't know that money's lost, so I don't want to say that it is.
No.
We don't know that at all, but we do know that there is a lot of confusion right now in the city of Marion.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes to the point again, there's nothing wrong with liking Robert Landon. There's nothing wrong with voting Republican. That's not what people are saying. This is a much bigger issue than an election, a political party, a reverence for a person. This, I don't even know what you call it. That
he's made a big mistake.
Well, and I wish that he would have asked for help. I don't know what happened. I think that's the big problem here. What in the world happened?
Now, I remember as a 20-something guy, doing similar things. Not nearly quite the scale that this is, but you're afraid people find out you did something wrong, so you kind of cover it up, and I can see that. He was just acting very immature. I believe he should have asked for help.
Well, now, this is a lot of money.
Yeah.
That could possibly be coming from him, and charges are no fun.
No.
That you have a special prosecutor investigating you, that's a very uneasy feeling, I would think.
I would think there will be a lot of sleepless nights for the gentleman.
Well, and here we go. It leads into tomorrow night. That this would not be a topic of conversation tomorrow night, I would be shocked if it wasn't.
Yeah.
Because this is the city council that's going to preside, excuse me if I can come up with the word, preside over the fallout from this.
Yeah.
Because this city council that's elected next Tuesday will take office, I believe, the first of the year. So they're going to be the ones dealing with the fallout from this whole mess and working with the new auditor when that person is chosen by the Republican Party.
And the other side of this, there's so much partisan stuff that's going on in politics throughout the nation. My question, and it's only a question, if you nominate all, if you get nothing but Republicans into the city council, will they let him go? If you get nothing but Democrats into the city council, will they really come down hard on him? So you ought to really look at your vote this year.
Well, right now, city council is very interesting. You have two independents. I believe, I'll get it wrong because I don't have it in front of me. You know what? Let me pull my paper out here so I don't get it wrong.
I was trying to remember who the independents are.
Yeah, but independents are Josh Daniels and Kathy Swanger right now.
Okay.
Now, this is a whole, there's a whole wrench in that system come next Tuesday. And I'll explain to you why as soon as I get my paper out here.
Okay, while you're looking for your paper, I'll tell the audience that I did something really bad when I voted. I've already voted. I voted for myself on a position that I didn't want to vote for somebody on.
You wrote yourself
in. I wrote myself in.
What position's that?
There was only one write-in position. I can't remember if it was city council or what it was. But.
Now, here's what we have right now, the makeup of city council. We have, at-large council people, I believe we have an independent, Josh Daniels. Mm-hmm. We have Mike Thomas, who's a Democrat.
Yep.
And we have Mike Neff, who is a Republican.
Right.
So you've got... So we're even
there.
One of each and an independent. Then First Ward is a Democrat, Kai Meade, so you've got two Democrats.
And he doesn't have an opponent, right?
No, he does, a write-in opponent, David Miller.
Okay.
Council Second Ward, we have Ayers Ratliff, who's a Democrat. So that's three Democrats currently on council, one Republican, and an independent. Go to the Third Ward, Jason Schauber's a Republican, so now you've got two Republicans, three Democrats, and an independent. Fourth Ward is Joshua Feliciano. He's a Republican, so now 3-3 and one independent. Fifth Ward is Karen Fosna, a Republican, so now you've got four Republicans, three Democrats, one independent. And the sixth ward right now is Kathy Swanger, the independent. So you got, that's what city council is. You've got...
Actually, that sounds like a pretty fair group of people.
Well, you've got four Republicans, three Democrats, and two independents.
Yeah.
Now,
both of those independents, I would say, lean to the left side, but they are definitely independent. Josh is about the most independent one I know.
Well, here's why the election next Tuesday is very interesting, and the candidates' night tomorrow night, because... Kathy Swanger has now become a Democrat.
Oh,
she's running as a Democrat in the 6th Ward. So should she get reelected, that would even out if everybody's reelected.
So it'd be
that would even it out. Yeah. But the trick to this whole thing is Josh, the other independent, is not running for reelection. So that spot's going to be filled,
that's right.
Period. So will it be filled, and that's an at-large seat. Will it be filled by a Republican or will it be filled by a Democrat? Because the makeup of this is interesting because Mike Neff, who is the Republican at large right now, is running for 6th Ward. He's not running for that. So the only person at large who is running for at large again is Mike Thomas. And you've got Brett Cornelius, a Republican, Evan Geyer, a Democrat, Aaron Rollins, a Republican, and Charles Arndt, a write-in. So, I guess what this is really going to come down to, I think calculated moves have been made. Kathy Swanger becoming a Democrat, Mike Neff leaving at his at-large position to run against her, Josh Daniels not running for re-election. it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
And so your question of will this whole auditor position come down to the makeup of city council? Well, here's what we know. Jason Schaber isn't going anywhere because he's got no opponent.
Mm-hmm.
So that Republican is staying put in the third ward. Other than that, it's all up for grabs.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and that's good. I'm glad. I like seeing politics up for grabs as opposed to definitely going one way or the other. I like a two-party system if you can get two good parties.
This is not a prediction. This is just what I'm saying. In the first ward, Kai Mead only has a write-in opponent.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard.
Yeah, very hard.
So more than likely, Kai Mead would probably retain that seat.
Of course, he only won his seat by one vote.
By one vote. But the whole write-in thing is complicated to begin with.
It is.
So let's say Kai keeps his seat. Ayers Ratliff's been there for a long time. Pam Larkin is running against him as a Republican. Let's say Ayers keeps his seat. I think he's been there longer than anybody at this particular point.
Long time.
Third ward, Schaber's going to keep his, so that's staying Republican. Fourth ward, Feliciano and Booker. I don't know. It has tended that the fourth ward, I don't know. Wasn't Mike Thomas from the fourth ward?
Yes, I believe he was.
So it has just recently went Republican, but Mike Thomas's last race there, he came very close to losing to Tanner Hale.
Yeah.
So my guess is that may stay Republican. So Feliciano's the sitting councilman there. In the fifth ward's interesting because you got Fosnaugh, who's the current Republican councilperson, but she's never run a race because she inherited that seat when Leslie Cunningham left the seat after the last election. And then you got Tara Dyer, who's run for office many times. So that, to me, is a toss-up in the fifth ward,
too, yeah.
Although it has been Republican for a long time.
Yeah.
And then you've got the sixth ward, which really probably becomes the race of the night because you've got Kathy Swanger, who's now an identified Democrat, running for that seat against another sitting councilperson right now at large who now is trying to win the sixth ward. And the sixth ward has tended to be Republican.
Yes, I was going to say that very thing. It has been. I'm in that ward, and I know that it has been Republican ever since I moved there.
So I'm going to give you the prediction here of this, so let's just run through and then we're going to go to the at-large, because at-large you've got Mike Thomas, a Democrat, the only one who's running for re-election at-large, which means two of these people are going to get that seat, but you've got two Democrats and one, no, you have one Democrat and two Republicans running for those seats, and a write-in. I don't know if we know what his party is or not. It just says write-in on the ballot. So let's go down here. First ward, Kai Mead, and write-in David Miller.
Well, I'm going to go with Kai.
Okay. That's one Democrat. Second ward, Ayers Ratliff, Democrat, Pamela Larkin, Republican.
No, I'll go with Ayers again.
Two Democrats. Jason Schaber keeps the third ward, so one Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth ward, Jose Feliciano. Didn't he sing?
yeah.
He sang a song somewhere.
Yeah.
Joshua Feliciano, the Republican, and Dana Booker, the Democrat.
I'm going to go with the Republican in that district.
So now we would have two and two, Republican, two Democrats. Fifth ward, Tara Dyer, the Democrat, and the current candidate, Fosnaugh, the Republican.
I'm going to flip a coin, but I'm going to say Tara just because I love Tara.
So three Democrats and two Republicans now. Sixth ward, current city council person who's listed as an independent but will be listed on the ballot as a Democrat, Kathy Swanger, against current council person, Mike Neff, the Republican.
Again, I'm going to toss a coin. I'm going to base this on who has the most signs up. Neff has the most signs
up. Well, and this has become a nasty race to the degree, not that the candidates are being nasty, but what has become nasty about it is that my understanding is Jason Schaber, the third ward Republican, has endorsed the Democrat in that race, Kathy Swanger.
I like her a lot, but I think Neff's got more stuff out
there.
Well,
and but the Neff has been the one who has strongly defended the auditor more than anybody else.
And that might hurt him.
Will it or will it help him? See, you have to. I don't know.
Well, yeah.
So let's. You said Neff. Okay. So what that would do is that would give us three Republicans and four Democrats if it goes the way. So then it all comes down to this at-large thing. Can Mike Thomas hold that?
Mike Thomas has really good name recognition, and I think, again, that's going to be really close, but I think he can hold.
So then we've got to fill two empty seats because of Neff leaving that and, mm-hmm. and Josh Daniels leaving that a race. Brett Cornelius, the Republican, Aaron Rollins, the Republican, and Evan Guyer, the Democrat, and Richard Arndt, the write-in.
Wow. And I don't know those people very well. I'm going to say one Democrat and one Republican. I don't think the write-in has a chance. So,
and if it would go the way you say, I think it would give the Democrats an upper hand. By one.
It'd be close.
But it is going to give somebody a clear upper hand this time because there will be no independents at the end of this election next Tuesday.
Yeah.
So that's that.
Well, Josh was a Democrat for a long time. He only became an independent in this last election, so there was a leaning that way. But Josh is his own man. He, if you know him, and anybody that does know him, you can't expect to get the Democratic talking points out of it.
It would seem to me the Democrats have more to lose here because Josh, who was a Democrat, is not running for re-election.
Right.
So even though he's an independent, that's gone. And Kathy Swanger, who was an independent, although clearly leaning more toward the Democratic side, is running as a Democrat.
Yeah. Now, I must say that my picks there, two of my picks were not my favorite people. So I would... I just want those people not to feel hurt if I see them.
You know, I don't know how this will all shake out, and that's what's interesting. I look at every one of those races, and there are probably only two that I'm sure about.
What two are you sure about?
In my own mind, it's hard for a write-in candidate to win. Not because it's Kai. It's just hard for a write-in candidate to win.
And he's done a good job. So.
And I would find it hard to believe that with two vacant seats at large that the only city council person at large who is running for re-election and that would not make one of the three spots.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's
but
right.
Other than that, I have no idea. Even Ayers, to be honest with you, I have no... Because, see, here's the thing. Ayers has been so vocal against the auditor. Has that made him hated? A lot of people like this auditor, this former auditor.
There is no doubt about it. A lot of people think he's a very nice man, and he's a very religious person. I guarantee you there are people that are mad at him because he went against a nice man.
Well, and it was such fervor. I don't think anybody had more fervor than Ayers Ratliff on city council in doing it.
And it looks like it was deserved.
Well, and also Ayers has not had an opponent in I don't know how many years, and all of a sudden he does. That says something.
Well, he has such great name recognition that that was a name I knew a long time ago, way before I was in politics.
Yeah, but do you remember the year that the two longest-serving councilmen, Ralph Cumston and Mike Thomas, both ran for re-election and both lost?
Yes, I do.
Against people who had never been on city council before. Because I think there is such a small portion. It's an off-year election. It's not governor. It's not presidential. We have very low turnout in this year. Yeah. And ward races are just hundreds of people.
Yeah, right.
If it rains and people don't show up, you could lose.
You could lose by two votes and there were only four that were cast.
Right. Nobody turns out in this particular year to vote for... It's not a down-ticket vote. You've got to turn out to vote for the person you want to vote for.
Do you think that the all the national fall de ras will affect this local race?
I don't think so because, to be honest with you, I even think state issues have not been discussed locally. We're not into pandemics here in Marion politics. We're not into vaccinations. We're not into...
You know, here's the same people I do, but yeah. Okay.
Well, but they're not talking about it in city council.
And they're not saying that such and such did a bad job.
There's, yeah.
they're worried that there is a pandemic, but yeah, nobody's getting blamed.
Well, I don't hear anybody on city council saying, you know, these people think it's fake, and I don't hear the other side saying these people are nuts.
But you know what? Deep down inside, I think there are a lot of people right now that say, I don't like Democrats anymore because they're all blankety blank, or vice versa. Republicans are all blankety blank. You know, I think there are people that down in their heart, they will vote against a person because you go to the, and I follow politics fairly closely. I went to my ballot and there were still two or three people that I had never heard of before running for positions. And I know in my head, I picked the Democrat because I'm a Democrat. And I know there are people that don't know the people that are on the ballot that are going to vote for the Republican just because they're a Republican.
But I find it hard to believe when it comes to city council that that happens. Because if you vote for city council, you're only voting for your ward. You don't vote for every city council seat. So it's only two people that you have to know.
Yeah, but I think there are a lot of people that have no idea. They just go in and vote straight ticket one way or the other.
I think in bigger year elections, that's far more the case.
I think in this type of an election, there'll be more selectivity just because the people that are going to show up are the ones that want to vote for somebody specifically.
To be honest with you, I think the topic most people are going to ask themselves, honestly, is about the auditor because it's a citywide position and it has happened so close to the election.
Yeah.
His resignation is so close to the election to the effect that we are going into an election without a sitting auditor. We're going in with an interim auditor. And there has been so much under the rug with this. There has been the resignation of an auditor. There has been name calling. There have been press releases. There's now a special prosecutor. There has been special city council meetings. There have been the state auditors coming down. There is an interim auditor. This has all there have been police reports
Sounds
filed.
Sounds like a lot of fun down at City Hall.
Well, this has all happened since the beginning of September.
Yeah.
And here we are, you know, heading into November. So I think it becomes a big issue in people's mind. You know, how did you treat the auditor? If you felt he was treated wrongly, you might be angry at the Democrats and the Democrats who led that brigade.
That's actually what my point was earlier. Yeah.
But if you think he should be gone, well, maybe you'll get rid of the Republicans who think that he should still be there.
Yeah.
And I don't know where public sentiment is.
That's why, that council... Those council votes are very, very, very important on this.
Well, that's why election night's going to be very fascinating.
Yeah.
Because ultimately,
I'll be there.
Yeah, you'll be at Democratic headquarters, and Linda will be at the Board of Elections, and Terry will be at Republican headquarters.
Linda's our wild card. Last time she was
the
star. Only one that knew.
She was the star, and we were on pins and needles. What is it? And it's fun because you take a radio to Democratic headquarters so they can hear what we're saying here in the studio.
Right.
And I think Terry tries to do the same over at Republican headquarters.
Matter of fact, my radio is still there from the.
Well, there we go.
I hope
it's
they
the same
throw
place.
It away. Yeah, I believe it's at Elks.
The Elks? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting. I don't know. What I'm always interested in, the first time we check in, which is usually before the ballots start coming in, it's just to check in to see who's in the room.
Yeah.
And I like that. Who's there? Who showed up? So a lot of people show up who are not up for election.
Yeah.
Will the former auditor show up at Republican headquarters
that
night?
That's a great question.
Good question.
Yeah. Now, I covered the Democrats the last time, and it was a packed room, and the Elks foyer area is pretty big.
Well, even though presidential years are fun and gubernatorial years are fun, city council year is, as far as city goes, that's a big, big deal.
Yeah. It has a lot more locality to
well,
it.
Well, and the candidates are in the room with you.
Yeah.
You know, it's
last time we had a hard time getting the mayor on because he was doing, you know, the mayor schmoozing stuff and he wasn't in the room, so I had to drag his wife over to
talk. She was on the air with us.
She was good. Yeah.
And you never know who's going to be on that night.
Yeah.
But then he came here when the night was over
and he spent the night with you
and he spent the night with me.
Yeah.
Well, so
not the night but
an hour. Yeah, we had a good time, and we invite that when people win or don't win. It's It's going to be an interesting Tuesday, and it's what? We got a big week. We got the debates tomorrow night, and then we've got the election on Tuesday. And that was also done on purpose, because there's always been a time between the debates and the election, and I'm not necessarily sure that's good. Keep the debates fresh in people's mind as we go into the election.
Yeah, that's a good idea, yeah. Now, one interesting thing, and I believe this is correct, the person that ran against the auditor was a Democrat, Kathy, is that right?
No, Kelly.
Kelly. I knew it started with the K. And Kelly was the best interview, and I've done several political interviews, local political interviews. She was the best interview I've ever had, and even after she knew she had lost, she was wonderful.
Well, it was fascinating because that particular election saw charges come down that day against Robert Landon.
Did it really?
I believe so. Oh, I believe it was, what was it? It was something about the signage that was put.
Oh, yeah.
The pamphlets. So
yeah,
it
didn't
was
have his name right or something
right
on it. Yeah.
So we wanted to know if Kelly Carr was going to challenge the outcome,
and she
said no,
absolutely,
and
not.
She didn't.
Yeah, because she thought he had won, and she didn't want to play little games like that. And I that interview I did with her sticks in my mind as one of the better ones that I've been able to do.
Well, because you don't know.
Yeah.
She didn't know if she would win or lose.
Right.
And there are no polls locally. Now, I know these parties do internal polls, but they are, I've seen these internal polls, and they're never right. Never even close to being right.
No. Now, it is kind of interesting. When you become a candidate, they give you what they kind of walking papers. They give you a list of the people you should go talk to. And these people are Democrats, and these people are independents, and these people are Republicans. And, you know, if you're, like I was, a Democrat running for office, you usually go to the independents more intensely, but you hit on the Democrats. You don't go to too many Republicans. You try to build up your stance within your own party. But I found out you can never. I walked up to one of my opponent's houses, knocked on the door. She didn't say very nice things to me.
Get off.
Do you know who I am?
Do you know who I am? Well, that was probably the problem.
Yeah, that was not good that I didn't know her.
She didn't want you there. But and there has been a Republican wave in Marion since 2016 that we have seen in almost all elections.
Oh, yeah.
So will that continue to play out?
Across the board in 16, I don't think, maybe the there might have been one position that got more than 40% of the vote that was a Democrat.
The sheriff.
Across.
The sheriff.
Yeah, the sheriff and, well, the guy, there were very few that got above 40%.
Yeah, and well, then the following year, which was 17, which I think would have been a council year, I believe that's right. I believe council ended up being very Republican that year. I think that's when Mike Thomas was sent out. That's when, who was a Democrat. That's when Ralph Cumston, who was a Democrat, was sent out, both after 20 years on council. That's when the 4th Ward turned Republican, which was Mike Thomas's ward for 20 years. It turned into a very Republican year.
And in 18, it just continued. I don't think anybody got above 35.
No, yeah. Mike DeWine became governor. The prosecutor stayed Republican. The county commissioners all stayed Republican. And then in 19... the mayor was, but the auditor became Republican, and then last year we saw the sheriff became Republican, and all the county commissioners remained Republican. So, hey, it could be a bad road to go for the Democrats on Tuesday night.
Well, things were trending that way, and as in all politics, it's like an up and down elevator. For a few years, it'll go down on your side, and then it'll turn around and have to go back up again.
But is there any reason for it to rebound for the Democrats at this point?
At this point, it might be a little early, but I think it's bottomed out, I think, in Ohio, because you can see it is going Democratic nationwide even more than we expected. Now, it may not in 22, but We still have to see.
We do have to see. We're going to break. Come back with another hour. Stay tuned.
There's no use in us carving, for if we do, there won't be enough to keep us all from starving. So I suggest we go to bed, and tomorrow, said Maloney, whoever has the nicest dream wins the piece of baloney.